The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway in another week here in April. It is Monday, April 15, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Great show on tap for you today. Man, do we have things to talk about from over the weekend. We've got football news. We have basketball news. We have the Masters we got to talk about. I mean, so many things to get to on the show today. Plus, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will be with us. Baseball to talk about. I mean, so many things here on the Monday edition of On the Line. No Uncle T-Bone today. He is out. So you do have me. You got me for the next 2 hours. And so many things to go over. Hope you had a good weekend. Beautiful weekend. Beautiful day once again here on the plains, and would love to get you a part of the show on this Monday. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to think about and react to from over the weekend here on the show? You can be a part of it. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. 334-321-1390. We've got a lot of it is here early on. We'll be reacting to the Masters from this weekend and how Scottie Scheffler proved again how he is the best golfer in the world, not just because of his number one ranking, but because of his what ended up being a dominant performance at Augusta yesterday. And we've got that to talk about. I'm sure some folks got some baseball things to talk about with Auburn baseball. I'm continuing to, I think, disappoint. It's about the only word that you can come up with when it comes to what Auburn baseball has been doing as well, plus basketball news, football news, all sorts of things. And yeah, I figured this one was coming. And let's get to the phone lines. We'll get it started hot. Lonnie and Lochapoka, you're on the line, man. Happy Monday. What's on your mind?
What's going on, Jacob?
I don't know it, man. I have a feeling you're going to tell me, though.
Well, I mean, is it over now? Pretty sure it's over now.
I mean, you were saying it was over a couple weeks ago, Lonnie.
I like I said last week, you can just tell when you've got a bad team. And I hate to say that. It reminds me of the 98 Auburn football team where you could just tell they're just bad.
Mm. What is it in your mind, Lonnie? What is it?
I have no idea, but I sure do wish we could get Tim Hudson back over there. I mean, you know, or somebody that it's pitching seemed to be at least halfway mediocre when Hudson was over there. Right now, it's just absolutely atrocious. I mean, I don't understand it to have recruited the way that we have, and this is the product. I mean, something's going on. I was gonna call in and start off playing loser by Beck, but I figured that probably wasn't the best thing for me to do today.
Well, Auburn,
make it a little bit more subdued.
Yeah, and look, man, I get it, and you're not alone. I know you're not. There are so many Auburn baseball fans out there that when you watch what happened this weekend, you lose 6-5, you lose 9-1, and you lose 13-8. I mean, look, Lonnie, I don't have to tell you or anybody on this radio station that's listening to this radio show, you give up 6 runs, 9 runs, and 13 runs in an SEC game, yeah, you're going to lose more times than not. That's not acceptable, and it's disappointing when you put up 8 runs in an SEC game and it's still not enough.
Well, I don't think the pumpers can call in and spin this one, but I will say that I do expect Butch to make some wholesale changes at the end of the year. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't just go ahead and start canning people now, but certainly by the end of the year, you're going to see some wholesale changes. But anyway, I'll end it with this, Jacob, and let everybody else that wants to call in, War Eagle anyway.
Appreciate the call, Lonnie. Always great to hear from you down there, down Highway 14 in Lochapoca. Auburn is 18-17 overall this season, 2-13 in conference play. Look, that's not good, ladies and gentlemen. That's bad. That's not even not good. That's just plain bad. And look, we knew going through non-conference play, we watched this team and we saw them play. We saw them beat an Iowa team that eventually ended up not being all that great. We saw them struggle but play a really good game against Virginia in February, which was fine. You saw them lose to that one of those games to UConn, and we were like, okay, well, UConn is probably going to be a little bit better than people give them credit for. They beat Air Force. They lost to that Austin Peay team. And that Austin Peay series really should have been, that should have been our sign. And I think it was. We just didn't know it was going to continue on as long as it did. Where Auburn won the series opener against Austin Peay on that Friday night on March 8th, 7-6. And then the next day, it was a disaster and a 15-6 drumming inside of Plainsman Park. And we were like, whoa, what happened there? We're like, all right, it happens. It's just one game. And then Auburn turned around and had a really good response that Butch Thompson talked about that he wanted to see from his team. And they won 24-5 in seven innings back on March 10th. And so after that, you're thinking, okay, everything's fine. Here comes SEC play. And you start on the road at Vanderbilt and you get swept. You get swept 11-1, 13-5, and 9-6. Now, I'm not very good at math, but that's 33 runs in three games that you gave up defensively. That's not okay. Then you come home and take on Arkansas and you lose the first game 1-0. Okay, that's all right. That's acceptable. We can understand that one. You had chances to win and you didn't. You had chances to win game two and you lost 6-5. But then you turned around and you got that win on Saturday, 8-6. Then you go back on the road at the number four team in the country. You give up 9. You give up 12. You give up 10. That's not good. That's bad. That's really bad. You're giving up 30 runs again. And this time it was on the road. And in all those games, you were in them. You scored 7 runs, 8 runs, 9 runs on the road. That's good enough to win college baseball games. That's good enough to win any baseball game. When you start getting above 5 and 6 runs, you scored 7, 8, and 9. And you still lost. And that's unfortunate. Because then you came home and played Tennessee, where you got the series started off with a win. You beat Tennessee. It's like, okay, if we can just keep going and get this thing turned around, we've got a shot. Well, then your pitching woes came back, and you got run ruled in 7 innings, 12-2. And then you're like, man, rubber match on Sunday. Going to be great. Great turnout. Great fan base. Perfect afternoon for some baseball. And the Volunteers flexed their muscles all over you. 19-5 in 7 innings. Gave up 19 runs. I'm with Lonnie and Lochapoca, man. There's got to be a change. And I've heard so many people talk about with this Auburn baseball team. It's like when Tim Hudson was there, he got whoever he wanted. He got the staff. He got the players. He got everybody. And that was pretty much true. And that hasn't been happening. And I know it hasn't been very long, but that has not happened since he walked out the door. And we had convinced ourselves, and I still think there's good talent there, but we had convinced ourselves that this was a really good team and a good pitching staff. And again, I still think there is good talent there. They're just not getting it done. And a lot of people have talked about this team not being clutch, this team not having the it factor, this team just not having truly what it takes to get it done. And I think you saw that this weekend in a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. Not to mention that you lost to Alabama State in the midweek, which that's never okay. And I think you just saw this team kind of crumble this weekend against the number 8 team in the country, the Kentucky Wildcats, where you had chances on Thursday and you lose 6-5. Friday was ugly. You lose 9-1. Saturday was even worse, and you lose 13-8. You get swept again. And now you go at Mississippi State, at LSU, home for Ole Miss, at Missouri, and home for Alabama. What is that, 5 series? 2, 3, 4, and 5. Even if you, I mean, you're not going to sweep them all, but even if you win almost all of them and sweep most of them, like, you're 2-13 in the conference. And look, not every year is going to be good, whether it be baseball, whether it be football. I don't care if it's lacrosse. You're going to have down years. You're going to have bad seasons. But man, this has been brutal to watch. It has. It's been tough. And it's unfortunate because a lot of Auburn fans have really shown up and showed out for these games. I mean, Auburn, Plainsman Park has been breaking attendance records just about every weekend this season. And yet here we are with a team that's just not getting it done. Their win percentage is .133. Ouch. And I think what makes this even worse is something that I believe Uncle T-Bone and I talked about a while back, is the fact that you had a very disappointing end to a football season that, yes, it was year one under a new head coach, but still did not go the way Auburn fans wanted it to go. You then had a basketball season that was a disappointing ending to a really good season, a high-potential team that fell flat on its face. And here we are with a baseball team that pretty much every Auburn fan was trying to put all their chips into and say, okay, here we go. Right in the big three, here's our last chance. And it never got off the ground. That's a bird that tried to fly out of the nest and fell straight down. That's what really is unfortunate here. And I think you can hear that in people like Lonnie's voice and others like you who are listening right now. That's what makes you so upset and so disappointed. Yes, it hurts to lose, and it's not fun to watch your team be disappointing. But it does happen. And while we can expect greatness, and you should expect wins and championships and expect better, you have to understand that there are times like this season. These do happen. But what cannot happen is it to be repeated. And what cannot happen is there to not be a reaction. And here's what I mean by that. You have a season like this, okay, you say, look, this was rough, this was bad, but what do we do to avoid this again? What do we do to make sure this doesn't happen again for a long, long time? Because here's the worst part about it, folks. The season's not over. It's a long way from being over. You have 5 SEC series left. If Auburn keeps doing what they're doing, the season will end shorter than it should because they won't make it to Hoover. But that's what I'm talking about. If this continues, and I'm not saying giving up. You shouldn't give up. The fans might. I'm saying you should not. But some will, and that's just natural. How do you respond if you're Butch Thompson and this coaching staff? How do you respond if you're the players, man? You would think you would hurt after this. After being 2-13, being swept again. It's not fun, and I'm telling you, they're not enjoying this. Nobody is enjoying this. But you've got to find a way to make it better right now, for the rest of the year, and then ultimately moving forward into next season. Because fans are not happy. Nobody is. And Auburn is on the verge of being below 500 for the year. That's not something that Auburn baseball's done under Butch Thompson. That's not normal here. And so now is a really crucial time to save a lot of face in terms of this season and what the future could hold for Butch Thompson and this Auburn baseball program. 334-321-1390. I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on Auburn baseball from this weekend? We have more news that we were able to talk about on Friday. We get to talk about some more of that today as well. Plus, the Masters from this weekend. Football things going on. Portal. It's portal season, man. Spring games are in the books. Here we go again. We'd love to get your thoughts on all of that here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, back here in the studio for the Monday edition of On the Line. Man, it's great to be back in the studio. And, hey, we appreciate everybody who came out to Baumhauer's on Friday. That was a lot of fun. Out at Baumhauer's, it was all brought to you and paid for by Cincy Green Heating and Air. Man, they are great friends of ours. Baumhauer's great friends as well. And, man, we had such a good time. A great crowd out there for our show and for the drive. I'm telling you, when ESPN 106.7 shows up for a live remote, we bring the party. That's all I'm saying. We bring the house down. And so we appreciate you all being a part of that. We had so much fun. There was a ton of content to talk about on Friday. And the major thing we were talking about was the Masters. And now the greatest golf tournament of the year is in the books. It is unfortunate. It is sad. But it was a great week, man. It really, really was. It was a great week. And Scotty Scheffler did it again. Did it again. His last four tournaments, 3 wins and a tie for second. So that's pretty awesome, if you ask me, when it comes to the greatness already of a 27-year-old Scotty Scheffler who won the Masters. And so if you got thoughts on that, give me a call, 334-321-1390. Intern and show producer Alan, you watched the Masters this weekend, man. How about Scotty Scheffler getting it done once again, his second green jacket in his career? It's unbelievable, man.
I mean, he's the best player in the game, and it's not even close. The ball striking is the best that we've seen since Tiger Woods. I think I speak for a lot of golf analysts. For the people that do watch a lot of Golf Channel, that's all you've heard over the last 5 or 6 months is this guy's ball striking. And it's at a level that we haven't seen in a really long time. And the one thing that's the only knock that is on his game recently has been the short game and the putting. And one of the big things that he has kind of come around to in the last month or so is that putting. Mm-hmm. And he's been able to, now he still has his moments where you can tell he's trying to work through a few things.
Right.
But the sucker is getting the golf ball in the hole better than anybody else.
Yeah,
and he is. And it was crazy because we saw him shoot a very comfy 66 in round one. Mm-hmm. And then round two and three, when the conditions really ramped up, you can tell his distance control was not there. He was not on his game. And through his short game, of all things, he was able to keep it around par. And then when the ball striking did come back in the final round yesterday, he was able to run away from the field and prove that he is the best golfer in the world.
Yeah, that 66 in round one, I mean, that's one of the best rounds of the tournament. I mean, I know Bryson, I think Bryson shot 65 in his first round. And you start looking through, I mean, there were not a whole lot of 60s on this golf course over the 4-day tournament. I mean, that 66 that Scotty shot was one of the better ones of the entire tournament.
And the one thing that sets him apart from all the other players that went low this week, Scheffler was able to keep the big numbers off the card.
Yes.
That's what you saw with Bryson DeChambeau on Saturday, I believe. He was the 36-hole co-leader or leader, I couldn't remember. But he was in that last group, and one thing that got exposed for DeChambeau was he all of a sudden, when the shot started fading a little bit, mm-hmm. and he wasn't on his game, started struggling with the putter, and that's when the big numbers came in. I think he had a double bogey on the 15th hole, then after that, and it just seemed like he had no feel around the greens from that point on. And I think Scotty Scheffler, what sets him apart right now compared to everybody else in the world of golf, the guy is not going to make those mistakes that are going to cause him to make big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, You saw with the experience on that back nine yesterday, or the second nine, properly speaking, but you had guys like
back nine.
Yeah, we'll call it back nine.
Back nine.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we're gonna tell you like it is on this show.
Well, you're right. I mean, he doesn't do things wrong, and it sounds so elementary to say it that way, but I mean, He drives it in the fairway. He hits it to the green.
Don't know how he does it. I mean, his feet are...
It's the ugliest thing you'll ever see, but it works. And I heard somebody say this the other day. It's like, man, maybe he should do that on the putting green because that's the only place he's messing up, and that's the only time his feet actually sit still. Like, it's unbelievable.
He'd make some greenkeepers very upset if he was sliding those feet around and scuffing up the putting green. I'll tell you, if you took someone that does not watch golf on a consistent basis, and there are a lot of people that... It's just the Masters and the Masters only. They love the aesthetics. They love the beauty of the golf course.
Or a major.
Exactly. And when people watch him, you watch him swing it. Folks, if you're not a golf person, go YouTube his golf swing, and you will just be dumbfounded and say, that's the best golfer arguably since Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Like, how is that possible?
But the results speak for themselves, not just in the winnings, but just every shot that he hits. I mean, it's very rare that he hits just a bad, bad shot. I mean, and look at what happened yesterday, right? You had Oberg, who your guy, who you called out earlier or late last week, but when the tournament was getting going. I mean, he had a blow-up hole. Max Homa had a blow-up hole. Colin Morikawa had a blow-up hole. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau had a blow-up day. I mean, it was just, that's what happened. And nobody really played great yesterday. Scotty just played good enough and let everybody else kind of crumble around him.
Yeah, and like I said, Friday and Saturday, he was not on his game and was able to scramble his way into staying on top of the leaderboard. Mm-hmm. And then when the game, you can kind of tell his game started to come around during the final round, which you would love to have that prior to the final round of the Masters. This guy is so good. He was able to work things out, keep himself in the golf tournament. He's like, I know the ball striking is good enough. It's going to come around, and when it does, I'm going to put my foot on everyone's throats, and that's exactly what he did. Yep. Because on the 10th hole, we had three or four guys tied for the lead, and I've never seen – it's very rare that we've seen a golf tournament – go from the most exciting to the most boring in about three swings. I think I told you that before we started. I mean, Morikawa, one of the best tempos of golf swings.
Yep. It's so pure.
In the world of golf, pulls it left into the water on 11. Ludvig Åberg, one of the most pure golf swings, the mayor of Tempo Town. I mean, this guy is unbelievable, going to be a great star in the world of golf going forward. He pulls it into the water. I mean, just the experience, you can kind of tell the difference. What's Scottie Scheffler do on number 11? He aims as far out right as you could,
yep.
Tries to draw that ball in, and he took the big number out of play. What did he do on number 12? He took the big number out of play. He said, I'm not going to shoot at the pin. I'm going to go over the bunker. Max Homa went long of the green on 12.
And that, went into that bush somewhere.
I've never really seen a golf ball end up there. Usually it ends up in the pine straw.
And well, normally it'll roll down.
Yes, yeah. And it got hung up in those bushes, and that was essentially the tournament for him. And that's just the one thing about Scottie Scheffler, his course management, being able to take the big mistakes out of play, and then when you are in position, be able to knock it to 3 or 4 feet, knock those birdies in, and run away from the field.
Yeah, I mean, his shots on, what, number 9 and number 10, was that what it was where he basically, I thought he holed out. I really did. I mean, that ball was trailing. It was turning, and then it trailed. It was going right towards the hole, and at the last possible inch, it went, you know, and it just went right around.
If he was playing on fresh greens and not in the last group of the Masters, it probably goes in, but just... There's good things and bad things about being a part of the last group, and when one of the bad things is you have to play golf holes that 60 other golfers had walked on prior, so the greens are not going to be as pure. But one thing about Scottie Scheffler is he was able to make birdies when he needed to and put himself in the best position to show why he's the best golfer in the world, and that's like I've been saying since we started talking, taking big numbers out of play and capitalizing when you're in position.
He's unbelievable, man. Number one in the world, backed it up, Scottie Scheffler, your Masters champion. He took home, just a small little paycheck, $3.6 million. That's pretty good for what I call a week's work.
And also, Ted Scott, his caddy, his fourth Masters win as a caddy at the Masters, because he now has two with Scheffler, and he had two with Bubba Watson in the early 2010s.
Wow.
So, a guy that knows Augusta really well and knows what it takes, and I mean, just add it to the repertoire that Scotty has. You have his game, and then you have an experienced guy like Ted Scott on the bag. I mean, that's been a pretty unstoppable duo over the last two or three years.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler, man, he can hit the irons better than anybody since Tiger, and I mean, if he keeps up the pace, he's putting up Tiger-like numbers, but who knows if that can be done. Scotty Scheffler, your Masters champion, his second green jacket. We'll have some more about that later on, but some basketball, football, transfer portal things we need to talk about when we come back here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open. Come on in and join us, 334-321-1390. And something that Uncle T-Bone and I talked about on Friday, and it's huge news for Auburn basketball. We had already been talking about, right, Dylan Cardwell coming back to this team and how it's just going to be a really big deal for him coming back, like starting number one right there, right? Dylan Cardwell coming back for Auburn basketball is massive. And you bring back somebody who is, you know, experienced and somebody, a fan favorite, and really an impactful player who, let's just be real, got better this year. This was his best season of basketball probably ever. And so you pair that with what Auburn just picked up in the transfer portal in J.P. Pegues, plus the guys that are coming back, plus the question marks that we still have for this Auburn basketball team. Yeah, there's a lot of potential for what this team could be. And look, J.P. Pegues is a really, really good player. And he is one of the, in my opinion, one of the best guards in the transfer portal and one of just the best players in the transfer portal. And Auburn picked him up. And there's another player that Auburn had their eye on and Auburn fans were getting excited about by the name of Miles Rice. And while Rice is really good, he's a fantastic player in his own right, Pac-12 Freshman of the Year from Washington State, he went to Indiana. And there's probably a reason he went to Indiana and J.P. Pegues came to Auburn. And that's pretty much how that went down, right? That's pretty much all you need to know when you read into why those chips fell the way that they fell. And I think Auburn fans should be happy. I think you should be very happy with what you're getting in J.P. Pegues. He's a difference maker. I'm just, to put it in simple terms, he's a difference maker for this Auburn team. And I know it hurts to lose guys like Aiden Holloway. It hurts to lose guys like KD Johnson. And it really hurts to lose guys like Trey Donaldson. But you bring in J.P. Pegues, who is going to be an instant impact player, right? That's the guy, that's the term I love to use, is an instant impact player. And I think that's what J.P. Pegues is going to be. And Auburn brings him in, and I really do think he's going to be one of the better guards in the SEC. I think he's going to be an upgrade from what you are losing with Aiden Holloway, Trey Donaldson, and also from KD Johnson. I truly believe that. Now, he's only one compared to the three that you just lost, but you bring him in on top of what's coming back, on top of what could be coming back, and this team has potential to be really good. But you still don't know. You still got a lot of question marks about what could be. Jani Broome is the biggest one, right? We're still waiting to see where that falls. You're still waiting to see what happens. I think everybody else is probably okay as far as I'm concerned. But Jani Broome's the biggest puzzle piece. And look, at this point, you just got to, I guess you just treat it like he's not coming back until he decides that he is. Because it's easier to plan for somebody not being here and then, oh, you're coming back, cool, rather than plan for him to be here and then it's like, oh no, oh, you know what, now what do we do type of thing. But you bring in JP Pegues. All right, let's dive into him a little bit. He's going to walk in and be one of your best three-point shooters on the team. Period. Instantly. 35% career three-point shooter is JP Pegues. And you bring that in, if he's open, he's going to shoot it. But not in the KD Johnson way, if that makes sense. He's not going to be like, give me the ball and get out of the way. I don't care if I'm open or not. I'm letting it fly. No, not necessarily. I think JP Pegues is a guy where you can run plays for him and you feel okay with it because he's a proven shooter. I just think he has that ability. He's proven it. He's proven it over multiple seasons. He's also proven it in the NCAA tournament. I know you continue to hear about that, but that's one of his biggest moments as a college basketball player. I think he's got the range. He's got the Jared Harper pull up from the logo range, which has been a huge growing thing since Jared was in college. That era of guard in college basketball, they love to see how far they can pull it up from deep and if they can knock it down or not. And look, Pegues has got that in his bag. I don't necessarily love it, but, you know, he's got it. And when you start looking at him as a shooter, you start breaking down his film, and I was watching some this weekend about him, and man, he can do it all when shooting. It can be off the dribble. It can be off the pass. It can be off the screen. He's just that good. He's just that dangerous. When you need him to take a shot, he will. And if you need him to make it, there's a good chance that he will. And for somebody who is able to create his own shot or shoot off of a run set play, that's what Auburn needs. And not only take it, but make the shot, right? Because Auburn's had, Bruce Pearl has had plenty of guards in his day that are more than happy to shoot. It's something that Bruce Pearl preaches, that he gives you the freedom to do. But guys are not making them at a high enough clip. I mean, can we just be honest with that, with ourselves? Can we all agree that Auburn is not shooting the three ball well enough from the guard spot? And let's look at the past couple of teams that made the NCAA tournament for Bruce Pearl and Auburn. Where was the weakness on the team? It was the guard spot. And that's plain and simple. Point guard in particular. The guard spot was the one that let Auburn down. That was the problem on the Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler team. That was the problem on this year's team. That's just been the problem the last couple of years. And now you bring in a guy like JP Pegues, who I think can not only shoot, I think he can put the ball on the floor. I know he can. I've seen it. He can make plays. And when he walks in the door, he instantly makes Auburn better. And that's what you're supposed to do in the transfer portal. That's the era of college sports that we live in. You're supposed to go to the portal to make your roster better. You're not supposed to build your entire team out of it. Basketball is a little bit easier than football for obvious number reasons. But in terms of this era in college basketball, you go and just make it better. You just go in and say, okay, we lost a guard or two. All right, let's go get one. Let's go find his replacement. Let's go see, not only can we replace that number, that physical number on the roster, but let's also try to upgrade, right? You and I have had this conversation before where you go and you're going to upgrade and make him better and make your team better because of that. And look, I think that's what Auburn did here with Pegues. I'm excited. And do I think Auburn's done? No, I don't. I don't think Auburn's done. And they shouldn't be. But you should be excited about what he brings to you. And something that I mentioned a second ago that I don't think is being talked about enough is his ability to get downhill and get to the rack and lay it in. Or draw a foul. Or do whatever. Draw the defense, dish it off. Just be a point guard. Like, I know it's a crazy thought. I know it's a crazy idea. But Auburn needs that. Auburn hasn't had that in a while. Auburn has not had a point guard that can do all of those things at a high, efficient rate. And yet, it's still a team that's making it to the NCAA tournament. It's still a team that's winning SEC tournament championships. So what happens if you go out and get that guy that can do all those things? What happens if Wendell Green was just a little bit better? What happens if Aiden Holloway and KD Johnson and Trey Donaldson were all just a little bit better? Does this team win more games? Probably. Does this team beat Yale? Yeah, probably. And you probably win more games in the tournament, and you probably make deeper runs. And you probably threaten to make another run to the Final Four. And so it's pretty obvious where Bruce Pearl and this staff, and we know that Bruce is not the leader in the transfer portal when it comes to the guys on the coaching staff and who goes out and reaches out and talks to him. Stephen Pearl's the main guy for that. And so it's obvious where their focus was. It was to go get somebody. Go get a difference maker. Go get a player at the guard spot. And now you have that with J.P. Pegues. And the question, too, becomes, okay, what happens if Jani Broom doesn't come back? Okay, well, go get somebody. Go get one. Go find a center. They're everywhere. There's 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", 7-footers in the portal everywhere. You could start scrolling right now. Go look at the list. And Auburn has talked to some, and Auburn's talked to a lot of guys. But thankfully, we are on the side of the, I guess, the spoiled in terms of Auburn has quite a few guys coming back. And again, I cannot express enough how much Dylan Cardwell coming back is crucial to this squad, because it just opens you up to so many different things. Opens you up to so many opportunities, so many different looks, so many different sets, so many different plays and strengths that this team is going to be able to use. And at the bare minimum, it's a roster spot you don't have to fill. It's a roster spot you don't have to worry about, that you're confident in. You're very, very confident in that it's going to work out and be okay. And that's got to be a good feeling for Bruce Pearl and this entire staff when they go to bed at night, knowing you've got him in your back pocket. You've got Denver Jones in your back pocket. You've got Chad Baker-Mazzara confirmed in your back pocket. Chaney Johnson. And I think there's going to be some guys come in, at least one, at that similar position. And so that should make you all feel a little bit better about this basketball team. But look, nobody feels sorry for Auburn. Nobody feels sorry for Bruce Pearl and the coaching staff. Nobody is giving them the benefit of the doubt. They've had that. They've had that plenty. It's time to do it. It's time to go get guys. It's time to win right now. It's time to go find the ones to do it. Because with the guys flooding out of Lexington right now, and flooding out of Fayetteville right now, and flooding out of all these other places that are having coaching changes, there's no excuse to not go get them. And in the era where you can legitimately pay somebody to come play for you, there's no excuse to not have the talent to compete in the SEC, to not have the talent to compete in college basketball, and ultimately win games in the NCAA tournament and not lose to Yale. Let's take our final break here in hour number one. Phone lines are open. Would love to hear from you. What's on your mind on this Monday afternoon? 334-321-1390. We'll wrap it up in hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Couple of more minutes here in hour number one on the Monday edition of On the Line. Phone lines continue to be open. We'll have Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. He'll join us coming up in hour number two at 3:30. We'll talk all things Auburn athletics, including this team that I wanted to shout out today. Auburn softball went on the road to Baton Rouge and took down the number six team in the country, the opposite Tigers of LSU. And look, it's a weird thing because this Auburn softball team got off to kind of a shakier start, especially in SEC play, and then all of a sudden, very, very recently, you had the announcement of Mickey Dean, the head coach of Auburn softball, who would be stepping away after this season. And then all of a sudden, Auburn softball just started playing really well. And you could say are playing their best ball of the season right now, because that win on the road at LSU was their first SEC series win of the season. And that's exciting because now this team can start to build a little momentum and try to take a couple of more series and try to make some noise in the postseason. And they didn't just go on the road and take down an SEC squad. I mentioned this already. They were the number six team in the country, was LSU. Like, if you've watched softball or kept up with softball at all in the college game, it's competitive, man. It's no joke. And Auburn's had their chances. They've just come up short in some of these games and some of these series in the past. But shout out to them, man. I mean, that's a squad that really is fun to watch and just doesn't give up and doesn't give in. And they're always in it, you feel like, especially with some of the girls they have pitching right now with Shelby Lowe and Maddie Pinta. I mean, it's just, it's been incredible to watch with Auburn softball. So shout out to that squad for getting a big win over LSU this weekend. And we talked a lot about Auburn baseball to start the show today with Lonnie Alochipoca calling in to voice his concerns yet again. And he says the season is officially over now. He's asking if we can all agree that it's over now and whether you want to cave in on that or not. That's up to you. It's definitely not looking good by any means. But yeah, now you look to what tomorrow brings for transfer portal when football opens wide up again. And man, who knows? I mean, you can't even predict it anymore. You really can't. And for those people that think they can, they're wrong. Don't listen to them because they don't know what they're talking about. And the ones that claim that they know, they probably don't know, but they're going to try and convince you that they know. Yeah. Did you keep up with that? Nobody really knows what's going on until it happens. And you know my motto. You know how we roll on this show. I'm not going to hop on here and talk about what somebody thinks is going to happen and what the rumor mill is. And like, there's no point in that. I'm going to talk about what is known. I'm going to talk about what I think about that, about what is known, and allow you to do the same thing. That's what makes this show different. And what we know is, yeah, the portal opens, and Auburn's going to lose some guys, but Auburn's going to gain some guys too. And the continued concern, and I know people are going to get tired of hearing of it, because it'll be an off-season topic from pretty much right now until August when fall practice begins, because spring is over. Summer is technically here when it comes to the football calendar. Is the quarterback spot. People are still concerned. And Uncle T-Bone and I talked about this a little bit on Friday. People are, the continued phrase that I hear is, Hugh Freeze better be right. That's what people continue to say to me. They said, Jacob, Hugh Freeze better be right. I hope he's right on Peyton Thorne. I hope he knows what he's talking about on Peyton Thorne. Because if he's not, and he doesn't go get somebody, things are going to get ugly. And they're probably right. Probably so. Does that mean Hugh Freeze won't go get somebody this spring? I don't know. Guess we'll have to find out. I don't think he will, but you never know. I highly doubt that he does, but you still never know. But that continues to be the phrase that I get told and the concern that so many of you, the listeners, the fans have is, you know, Peyton Thorne can be good and he is good. It's just whether Auburn's going to put the guys around him to be successful or not. And if they're going to have the game planning and if they're going to have the skills and they're going to have all of those things that it takes to be a successful quarterback. On the flip side of things, coming out of A-Day and coming out of the spring. It seems like the defense is going to continue to ball out. Seems like the defense is going to be the strong suit, the focal point of this Auburn team, which, whether that's your thing or not, whether you think it should be the defense or the offense, that's up to you. But sounds like DJ Durkin has just got those guys playing really, really well, and it's going to have them playing physical, legit football on that side. And some things got to get cleaned up, sure. Things that we've talked about in the past, getting pressure on the quarterback, stopping the run, not allowing deep balls, getting more turnovers. That has to happen this season. You've got to get more turnovers and give your offense more chances. But I think the defense will. I think they're going to be much improved. And like we've seen year after year recently, the defense will keep Auburn in football games. It's whether the offense is going to score enough points to actually win the game. Those are all things that we can address with the portal opening up. Some guys will leave, and some guys will come in. And at that point, you just got to figure out what you have if you're Hugh Freeze and figure out what you need. And guess what? That's what the portal's there for. Use it to your advantage. Hour number one, officially in the books. Stay tuned. We'll have Jacob Hillman, plus hopefully some more of your phone calls coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. On the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and find it on the podcast. Just go to ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Talked Auburn baseball in hour number one. Also talked J.P. Pegues, the new Auburn basketball transfer from Furman, who came in as well. So talked a little bit about that in the first hour, and talk to Masters in the first hour as well. So if you missed any of it, you can go and listen to the podcast later on today. Here in hour number two, got some general news to talk about, plus we'll have Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. He'll be with us coming up in about 30 minutes or so. We'll talk all the biggest news in Auburn athletics, basketball, baseball, softball, golf, tennis. I mean, it's all going on right now in the spring as we are just surging through the month of April. So that'll be coming up in about 30 minutes or so. But until then, phone lines remain open. Would love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. And while this is not Auburn news, it does impact Auburn, and it's something we talked quite a bit about on Friday when we were out at Baumhauer's Victory Grill, brought to you by Cincy Green Heating and Air. And again, thank you so much to everybody that came out to that. That was a lot of fun on Friday. Mark Pope was announced and officially hired as Kentucky's next head basketball coach. He was a captain in the 90s on the national championship team. And look, there for a while, it was the, and I say a while for like a day, it was the laughingstock of college basketball. I mean, a lot of fans were like, who? That, there were a lot of those. Who is this guy? Where is he coming from? Why in the world is Kentucky hiring him? Like, this is the best that they could do. And on Friday, I posed this question to you, the listener. And I said to all Auburn fans, or any SEC fans, does hiring Mark Pope at Kentucky, does that scare you at all? Does that worry you as an Auburn fan, as another SEC basketball fan. And I didn't hear one person, Terry. Terry did say he was worried about Mark Pope. And I'm sure he's not alone, but I did tell Terry that you're probably in the minority. Because I don't think most people are really worried about Mark Pope just yet. And I know he just got there. He just got shown his office and he just had his intro press conference, which we're going to talk about in just a second. But most people weren't super worried about this. And most Kentucky fans were not happy about it. They were not happy. We got some talks from a guy in Kentucky in the state, an Auburn fan in the state of Kentucky, our good friend Kyle, who calls in frequently when this type of stuff comes up. And he was saying, look, people are flipping out. People are losing it. People are upset in the Bluegrass State because of all the big names that Kentucky went after and that were on the list. This is what they settled for. And that's the word that most people used. But then, come, was it Saturday or Sunday? It was this weekend. I think it may have been yesterday. I can't remember. They held their introductory press conference for Mark Pope. All right? And they were doing it inside of Rupp Arena, which is a pretty massive arena if you've never seen it or been there. There's a lot of people that can sit in that thing. And media started joking about it. Other fans started joking about it. Oh, wow, can't wait to see the 100 or 200 people show up for the new head coach to be introduced. Did you see the photos and videos from that? It was unbelievable. It was insane. Their fans showed up like crazy in support of this guy. And you know what? Good for them. That's awesome. That's what you should do. That's what you're supposed to do when a new guy gets brought in, when you hire a new head coach for a historic program like Kentucky basketball. And the fans showed up and they gave him so much love. But you know what the coolest part about it was? When they showed up, when Mark Pope showed up to the arena, okay, to be there and speak for his introductory press conference, not only did he just show up, he rolled up in something pretty cool. And it was so cool, in fact, in case you didn't see it, they rolled in on a major bus. I mean like a decorated tour bus looking thing. And they rolled in, and it wasn't just him. He was not alone. He was with the entire national championship team that he was the captain of. And they rolled into Rupp Arena, and they all piled off the bus one by one. And there he was at the end, and he held up a national championship trophy. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. And everybody was going nuts, and they had the music blaring and the lights going and all this mess, which, shout out to Kentucky, man. The University of Kentucky, the athletic department, they understood the assignment. And what I mean by that is they knew when they hired Mark Pope that it did not go over as well as they had hoped. They knew that the fan base was still in a little questioning of who this guy was and why they hired him. But the university and its athletic department, they put on a show. And it caught the attention of basically everybody who follows Kentucky basketball, SEC basketball, college basketball. Like, everybody knew what was going on. And it was phenomenal. I think this was yesterday. And it was unbelievable to watch. I kept seeing pictures and videos and reactions and so many media members getting mocked because of what they had said about 12 hours before, waiting for his press conference yesterday. It was really impressive. And shout out to Kentucky. And you can hear Mark Pope talk, and you can understand, or I guess you can relate to him, that he understands how important this job really is. It's unbelievable. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, he's yet to even coach a game, obviously, but the passion's there from him. The life is there from him. And it's surely it's refreshing for Kentucky fans, right? I mean, it's somebody different. And I saw a lot of people reacting, Kentucky fans saying, it's nice to have a guy that loves Kentucky basketball. And that stuck with me. That was pretty, that hit pretty hard. You got something, intern Allen?
Yeah, one of the first things that came to mind when I saw the big ordeal in Rupp Arena, you can tell, it's like you said, you can tell what the schools and their athletic departments prioritize as far as their passion and care for a specific program. Mm-hmm. You saw it with Arkansas, with Calipari, and the big thing they did, and I believe that was in Bud Walton, the big press conference mm-hmm. and everything that they packed out. And, I mean, recently in football, you had Brent Venables. Do you remember the – it was kind of like a mini press conference slash welcoming that they did for him when he was hired at Oklahoma. And they brought the whole band to the airport. They had,
that's right.
They had thousands
yep.
of people
yep.
there waiting.
That's
they
right.
had the red carpet rolled out for him with the plane steps as he was getting off. So you can tell the passion, no matter what the hire is, once that hire has been made – they psych themselves in and they go all in because they're that passionate and they care that much about the success of that specific program.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that, and that's a really good point because the fans are such a big part of that, but the athletic department and the university gave them a venue, gave them an avenue, if you will, to show their excitement yesterday afternoon. Because, look, this could have very easily been Mark Pope show up in the normal media press room of any arena right there at Rupp. And it could have been the local Lexington media, could have been the state media, whatever. He could have done a press conference, could have been streamed, and then they could have gone home and everybody moved on.
And there's nothing totally wrong with that either. I mean, that doesn't mean that they don't care about their program if they don't
right.
if they don't put on a big ordeal. But, I mean, they brought in a full-on bus. They turned the 90s Bulls music on. And like you said, it was a slow unveiling one by one of that championship team from the mid to late 90s that mm-hmm. Kentucky had. I believe it was 96. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I mean, the guy that you just hired stepping off that bus after all the individual roars from the individual players that stepped off, and then your new coach comes out holding up a national championship trophy, that lets you know he understands the standard at Kentucky. And he says, Kentucky fan, this is what I'm hoping to bring to you as your head coach. And that was... I mean, as you would think, that was the loudest roar out of everybody that got off the bus.
Yeah, so. And my thing, too, is you would hope at this point, right, you would hope at this point that most fans would be like, okay, that was pretty cool. You can tell the passion's there. The love is there. He understands what it takes, what it means to be great at Kentucky. He was a former player, former captain. He's a national champion at Kentucky. The guy gets it. Now, can he coach? Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he's a pretty good coach at BYU. But he was a coach at BYU, and now they got to figure out, or he's got to figure out, how in the world to be a head coach in college basketball in the second or third toughest conference in the nation that just got even tougher with Texas and Oklahoma. And, oh yeah, by the way, you have the biggest target on your back each and every time you step on the floor because you wear the blue and white. And that's just how it works. That's how it rolls. And so, will he figure that stuff out? Who knows? Will he be a good coach, a good recruiter? Gonna find out. Hey, he's losing most of his players off that team right now. They had another one enter the portal today. And so he's gonna have to go and fill that roster with guys from the portal and high school recruiting, whatever the heck he can find. He may have to bring his kids in to play for a couple of games. But once he gets out there and starts coaching and the first couple of big wins, and oh, totally forgot about this. How about Rick Pitino and St. John's throwing a little shade at Kentucky and Mark Pope? And what'd he do? Mark Pope fired right back at Rick Pitino and St. John's, who they have no beef whatsoever. Now, Pitino does in Kentucky. St. John's not so much. But Mark Pope made a comment like, hey, if we found our way into the Maui tournament, would anybody show up? Because St. John's competing in the next or a couple years from now, the Maui Invitational. And so that was awesome, man. That was great. That's what makes college basketball so awesome. That's what makes college sports so awesome, is you've got a coach that has a major history with the University of Kentucky, good and bad, and Rick Pitino, who is already throwing shots and throwing shade and firing shots at the new head coach, and he understands what it means to hate Rick Pitino in Louisville, and so he shot some shots back as well, man. Unbelievable, but that was cool to see, and at this point, everybody in the SEC is trying to take advantage of it. Don't forget, John Calipari is the head coach at Arkansas. That's still a thing. That's still a big deal that I said on Friday people are just sort of forgetting about because of everything that's going on and the fact that basketball season is quote-unquote over, even though the transfer portal's wide open right now. You got guys flying around everywhere. Kentucky continues to lose guys. Big-name programs are bringing them in. Auburn continuing to bring guys in. We mentioned J.P. Pegues, had a good conversation about him earlier today. It's just, it's a wild time in the world of sports, and college sports are just, they're key, man. They're the best. It's awesome. I love it. You have some people like the portal. Some people hate the portal. But for times like this where football season's over, spring season's over, basketball season's over, the transfer portal gives us things to talk about, gives us the news, legitimate news to discuss. And I'm not just saying talking heads like me. I'm talking about you, the listener, whether you're in the car with your family, with your coworkers, with your friends, having a drink, at the office, whatever the case may be, it's more things to talk about. It's entertaining. It is fun because that's what this is all about at the end of the day. And while the portal is not fun to a lot of people, aka the coaches and the teams and the people trying to win games for their careers and for their livelihood, I get all of that. But for you and me, the portal's a lot of fun. It's wide open. It's frustrating at times, and sometimes you don't understand it. But as everybody's been saying, the portal giveth and the portal taketh. And I'm just saying, enjoy the ride while we're here. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. Want to hear from you, 334-321-1390. We'll have another segment. And then bottom of the hour, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us. That's all coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Brett from Beauregard, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, you know, the deal with Patino talking about Kentucky, you know, he was the coach when Pope was on that championship team.
Mm-hmm. All the connections are there, man, which is what makes it even better.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, whoever, I don't know who the people in the media were that only thought a couple of hundred people were coming, going to show up for Kentucky's new basketball coach to be announced at their arena, but they ought to have their press credentials taken because that's just plumb crazy. That's abysmal. I mean, Kentucky, something like that, they're going to have people show up. I mean, there's 100 people who show up late January for just a little regular old press conference, even in the freezing cold and snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'll be honest, I knew people would show up. I had no idea it was going to be like that. And I didn't know Kentucky was going to put on that big of an event. But there were, man. There were people that were laughing and joking about how many people they thought would show up to that. And a lot of them didn't guess anywhere close to what it actually ended up being.
Well, I don't know why they're laughing. He's going to be a good coach. The only thing will be whether players come. And with NIL and all that now and transfer portal, Kentucky's going to have players, and I actually think Kentucky fans are going to be all over that because they love him because he's a Kentucky man.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't behind, but yeah, they want him to win, but that Kentucky fans did not have a love for Calipari.
Yeah, and a lot of them claim that he didn't have a true love for Kentucky.
Probably not. I think Calipari has a love for Calipari.
I think you're right about that.
Have a great day.
Yeah, appreciate it, Brett. Appreciate to hear from you, man. Good to hear your voice. 334-321-1390. Look, there were. Yeah, I mean, I saw them, and I couldn't believe it either, that there were people who, and some were media, some were fans, whatever, that did not believe that fans would show up for the new head coach being introduced. And it is kind of a crazy thing. Did I think that Kentucky was going to just put on the biggest party in the Bluegrass State yesterday? No, absolutely not. And it was impressive to see. And that's what I'm saying. I'm giving them props, man. Like, credit to Kentucky. They did it the right way. Because it's a big deal to be the new head coach at the University of Kentucky. And the fans at this point, now that the hire's made and he is the coach. That's not changing. They're going to buy in with NIL and all that stuff that we were just discussing as well. And so they're there, man. Kentucky fans are the most loyal, supportive fans in maybe all of sports. It's crazy. Kentucky basketball, that is. Because they're insane. They travel no matter where. I mean, they could be playing in Vietnam. They could be playing in Russia. They could be playing in Antarctica. And Kentucky fans would be there. They'd find a way to get there and watch their Cats play. And it's an honor to be the head coach of that. So Mark Pope's excited. I think the fans will be excited. And if he can get some players in there, they'll have some hype. The name is still there. The brand's still there. There's still Kentucky basketball. It's just a new face at the front of it. So we'll see how that goes. Interested to see what the portal looks like for Kentucky and what all those because everybody's leaving right now, which is expected. That's just how it goes when a coaching change gets made, especially when it's John Calipari leaving and a guy that, look, most 18-year-old basketball players in high school don't know who Mark Pope is. Like, that's just a fact. He has to make it a goal of his to go out and say, here's who I am, here's why you should play for me. On the other side of things, I wanted to discuss something quickly as we get a phone call. We'll get to that in just a second as Alan will answer that. There were some other spring games this weekend which have really caught the eye of some people about what Lane Kiffin did over at Oxford this weekend and what was considered a spring game. If you want to call it that, there are some major, major air quotes on that. And some people loved it. Some people absolutely hated it. And here's what I'll say. I don't think it means that much. I don't think it's all that important, man. Like, it's a spring game. I've told you my thoughts. I think they're stupid anyway, but it is what it is. So I will have some more time. Maybe I'll wrap up the show with that because we do have a phone call, and I would like to get to this before we have our bottom of the hour break and get to Jacob Hillman. 334-321-1390. John, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon. I just was calling to see where I need to bring the live chickens for the sacrifice to take off the curse of the Auburn baseball team.
Yeah, you and your army, I'm sure. There'd be a lot of you that'd be showing up to that sacrifice.
So I don't understand what the problem is. They seem to be in every game for the most part, or they're in contention to win every series for the most part, but they just seem to collapse and fall apart. I don't know if it's just a attitudinal thing or what. Up 7-0, and then you collapse and score no more runs.
Yeah, that one hurt. Yeah, the series finale against Kentucky on Saturday, when you lose 13-8 after being up by that much that early, like there's no explanation for that one, John. There's no excuse for that one, in my opinion. And I think it comes down to just a lack of attention, a lack of the clutch gene, if you will. And I don't know, man. It's really hard to put it into words.
I'm not big on NIL, but I will be willing to support and donate if we want to send the team to a sports psychologist.
Maybe that's what it takes.
Mentally focused. I appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, man. Appreciate the call, John. Good to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. Yeah, Auburn baseball is just, I don't know, man. I really don't. I'm struggling to put it into words. Yeah, intern Allen says onto victory.com. There you go. There's the website link. I can provide you with that. But, you know, it just hurts to watch, man, because you're up, you know, you lose 6-5 and then you lose 9-1. And then in a game that should mean more to you than it did to Kentucky on Saturday, and early on it looked that way. Early on it looked like you were going to come away and win this thing and you were going to win and you were going to smoke them, and then you let them come all the way back and you let them beat you 13-8. That's just embarrassing is what it is for Auburn. And again, it just cannot happen. Let's get to the phone lines again really quickly here. This guy's coming back for seconds like he's at grandma's house. Lonnie in Lochapoca, what's up, man?
Hey, I forgot to say one thing, and what John just said kind of brought back to memory what I wanted to say. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago as far as the gambling bill and the lottery and all that stuff for the state of Alabama. That bill is not going to pass. So the overall point is, if you have never donated to the Auburn NIL fund, or you're not on a monthly, you know, payment for that, and you're not satisfied with what's going on, you better get your money in now, because that bill is not going to pass. There's not going to be extra money, so it's all up to Auburn. So that's going to have to be a priority now.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, Lonnie. And hey, I appreciate you calling back in and throwing that last bit in there, because he's right. And it's something that it is up to, it's up to Auburn to make that happen because of the bill and all of those things that are going against Auburn baseball, which they have seemed to overcome for most of their time, most of Butch's time anyway. It seems like this year, for the first time in a while, has really started to take its toll. And it's really started to affect and impact this team in a negative way, this program in a negative way. And that's tough, because we've had the privilege of so long of saying, well, even with the disadvantages that Auburn has and the NIL issues that Auburn has, they've been able to overcome it. They've got great talent. They've got great players. But this year, it's just not happening the way that it should. So we'll see what happens. Auburn baseball gets swept again against Kentucky. They've got Georgia Tech tomorrow night. We'll talk to Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network about that. Auburn softball, Auburn basketball news, and all the other things going on around Auburn athletics when we come back here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and joining us on the phone lines, as he does every Monday, is Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Always great to talk with him. Hillman, happy Monday, man. Spring sports are in full swing. The winter has kind of moved on, and the temperature kind of replicates that outside, huh?
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I mean, last week I want to congratulate you on your Abby Award. Obviously, you were bringing in the spring season at Augusta National Golf Club, so I have to give you the congratulations in to you directly. That I wasn't able to do last Monday.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I was not here last Monday. God, it's been a week already when I was at Augusta. Man, feels like it was yesterday. But yeah, man, I appreciate that. You've been a longtime friend of me. And hey, man, you and I started our radio careers and our broadcasting careers back in college. And so you've been a huge help to me. So I do appreciate that, man.
Of course. Yeah, shout out to Weagle 91.1 FM and all the memories we made there. And to where we are today.
Yeah, man. It got us here. There's no doubt about it. And it got us doing some crazy things and talking and covering a school that we both love. And while we love them so much, and they, you know, it's the highs are high and the lows are lows, brother. And that's where it's at right now with a lot of Auburn sports. Spring is just in going crazy right now with baseball and softball and golf. And I mean, it's just going all over the place. And so we'll just start knocking them out as we go. A lot of conversation on the show today about Auburn baseball, who had a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series against Kentucky this past weekend here on the Plains at Plainsman Park. And it was, unfortunately, another rough weekend for Butch Thompson and the Tigers.
Yeah, it's something that now you're fortunately, you're past the toughest part of your schedule, but it doesn't change the fact that you were well behind pace in the SEC standings. And you're going to have to make up for it. And obviously the pitching has been the big talking point for this team and for this staff, because you go up 7-0 on that in that Saturday game against Kentucky. If you get a win there, then you feel pretty good about where you are. You're like, all right, you get a win against what is now the fourth ranked team in the nation, and you can at least move forward with that confidence boost. But because you couldn't win a one run affair on Thursday, and then you blow the lead on Saturday, it's kind of tough to know exactly where you got to go from there. Obviously, this week you've got a Georgia Tech team coming to Flamesman Park before you hit the road for Mississippi State, who isn't necessarily the Mississippi State team that won the national championship a couple years ago, but it's still a team that's been ranked and is a solid ball club, and it's not an easy one to beat. It's the most hostile environment in college baseball. It's really the epicenter of college baseball, so it might not be the best team in the SEC, but everything that goes into it's going to make it tough. So I really look back at the pitching this weekend, and I think they tried different things. In the midweek loss to Alabama State, Christian Herberholz looked really solid in that outing. He went 5 innings scoreless, only allowing 3 hits. That's going to have to continue. I think he's going to have to move to the weekend to try and give a spark to this pitching staff in the SEC.
Well, you're talking about Mississippi State, a program that has won a national championship in the last handful of years, and now you got to go on the road to Stark Vegas. But, you know, you look at this Kentucky series, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday, you're in it. Friday, it was not your best performance, but then the one that everybody continues to bring up, Hillman, is the Saturday game where Auburn was up 7-0, and then, you know, you look at the final score, you never know it because it was a 13-8 defeat, and it just seems like the pitching is where this team just cannot get ahead and really not doing themselves any favors.
Right, and it's really hard to comprehend because of how good Auburn looked early in that ball game. And like I said, it's a 7-0 game. You're thinking, okay, it's time to break through. It's time to have a turning point. You're right at the midpoint of SEC play. If you can at least build some momentum from there, then you can take that a long way. Now, obviously, like you said, Auburn couldn't get it done in that game. And I don't want to keep hounding on this, but your last 4 series are against the top 4 teams in the nation. Literally, the new poll comes out. Kentucky's number 4. Tennessee's number 3, Arkansas's number 2, and Texas A&M's number 1. And that doesn't count the Vanderbilt series that they've fallen outside of the top 10, but that's because number 1 Texas A&M just kind of gave it to them this weekend. So it's really tough to really evaluate exactly where this team is, I think, because they're close to some of these wins. You have a 7-0, like you mentioned, you have a 7-0 lead on Saturday. You lose by one run. You have the game-winning run on base on Thursday. Obviously, you win a game against Tennessee. The other 2 games aren't that close, but then at College Station, you're in all of those games, as well as the Arkansas series. So I think it's really – this upcoming weekend is ultra important because right now you're competing to get into the SEC tournament. You're in last place right now, but you're only 3 games out of Hoover. So it starts right this weekend. You've got to get at least one, and then from there, build some momentum.
Auburn has Georgia Tech coming to town tomorrow. One game that I think Auburn fans will be excited for. A little bit of a break from the SEC, but no easy feat taking on the historic team of Georgia Tech. And then, yeah, you're on the road in Mississippi State at LSU next weekend. Before Ole Miss comes to town, you play Georgia Tech again at Georgia Tech before going to Missouri and then here against Alabama. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on ESPN 106.7. I know you were not in Baton Rouge, but Auburn softball went down and took care of business, my friend. They took down the number 6 ranked team in the country for their first SEC series win.
Yeah, it was a really good day for the Auburn Tigers over the LSU Tigers as it wasn't just softball. Men's and women's tennis each got a win to close out their seasons against LSU. So it was a 3-0 day against LSU and Auburn softball. I mean, that is a huge series win against a top 10 LSU team. And now you're starting to move into the latter part of the schedule, the last 3 series where you can really make a move and move yourself to the middle of the SEC standings and have some momentum going into the postseason. And really, it was all because of Shelby Lowe this weekend. Coach Dean really wanted to put the lefty out there against a heavy left-handed lineup of LSU, and Shelby went out there and did work. Friday, it's funny, her Sunday performance was even better than her Friday performance, and it was the first time she had thrown a complete game since she had some of her injury problems and her surgery last year. So it was really good to see her go out and do that. And when she spoke with Britt Bowen on the Regions Bank postgame show, you could hear the emotions pouring out of her, and it was really special for her to get that win and in a dominant performance like that.
Well, I know that between you and Britt, you guys are and you know JJ as well, you guys are the ones kind of joining together and calling these games and covering this Auburn softball team. And so I want to ask you this. Since the announcement of Mickey Dean, who is going to be stepping away and no longer become the softball coach for Auburn, not that they have gotten like excited or anything like that, but there just seems to be a new energy of like, okay, hey, let's go play a little bit. Let's go do this for him. Let's go send him out the right way. Have you seen that personally when it comes to calling games and covering this team over the last few weeks?
Very much so, because I think they're just letting loose. But you realize, listen, nothing matters after this year. I think there's always a little bit more pressure when there's always this talk around the program and whatnot. And now you just got to go win, and that's all that matters. And Coach Dean said it best. I think it was last weekend. It's, hey, look, that's all that matters. Take it one pitch at a time, and really keep it rolling, keep winning, and they're going to do that. Because, it is odd. Because, like you said, it does seem like that pressure just got lifted off of them, and now they're playing loose and playing the way that we know that they can. And it really has happened. One thing that Coach Dean mentioned in the post game as well yesterday was when he went out and spoke with Shelby, I think it was in the fifth, maybe sixth inning of that game three win and the series clinching win. He was planning to take Shelby out, but she and her teammates said, no, leave her in and let her finish this game. And he did that, and sure enough, it was the right decision, and it worked out. And I think that now that – I don't know, it's just the players, the coach staff, that they're really on the same page now and are working towards the same goal. Like I said, taking it one pitch at a time, it's really interesting to see, and I think that this can carry – into these last three series. And this week you're playing a team that's or over the next 2 weeks you're playing the two teams at the bottom of the SEC standings, and then you end the year at home against Alabama. Like this is it's setting up for a decent run to end the year for the softball team. So what I would say is, if the Auburn family, JMB Moorfield's the place to be this weekend as well as in 3 weekends.
Yeah, well, Auburn softball 5-10 in conference play, but as you mentioned, playing two of the teams near the bottom of the standings in the SEC, and then, yeah, you get Alabama to end the year. So everything is really in front of this softball team. And Hillman, it's always exciting for guys like you and me when we get some good basketball news in April, as Auburn and Bruce Pearl bringing in J.P. Pegues, the Furman transfer, who will come in and be an instant impact player and probably a starter on this team, especially when you see three guards enter the transfer portal. Man, JP Pegues is a ball player, and he's going to be a new Auburn Tiger starting next season.
Yeah, he is. Obviously, most people are going to recognize him from that game winner he hit in the 2023 NCAA tournament against Virginia in the opening round of March Madness. So he's a clutch player. He's a high volume scorer, and I think it's going to be interesting to see the minutes distribution for these guys. I think that Coach Pearl is going to play Pegues a lot more than maybe he played Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway this past year. I think that they're going to he's going to play him 25-30 minutes. We'll see how that shakes out, depending on who else maybe joins the team from the portal. And obviously, you have Denver Jones and Todd Pettiford, who can't play the one. So we'll see how that rotation works out. But I think Pegues is really going to stand out. And not to mention, women's basketball also got
yes.
a huge transfer guard, Talia Scott from Arkansas. She's kind of the same type of player.
Sharp shooter.
Yeah, she is going to score a lot. And, you know, if you were thinking about honestly Scott Grayson and then replacing her scoring, that's how they did it. They went out and got a former five-star, and it's going to be a little bit different than Honesty was. Honesty was able to facilitate, get to the bucket, Scott is going to score from outside and shoot the ball really well.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on ESPN 106.7. He joins us every single Monday as he represents the Auburn Sports Network each Monday at 3:30 here during On the Line on ESPN. Man, there's so many other things going on. Any other sports or events that you want to shout out before we let you go?
Yeah, watch out for men's and women's golf. Women's golf went down in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament today, but they have regionals coming up. That was held at Auburn University Club. Men's golf right now is playing in its regular season finale, going for its fourth straight tournament title, and we'll have SEC championships coming up in the next week. I'll be in Birmingham on Wednesday for softball at UAB, and nice. Then obviously softball will be back at home this weekend, Saturday through Monday, for the Kentucky series.
Awesome, man. Hey, you guys do a fantastic job. We appreciate you and all your time, and again, appreciate your kind words at the beginning, man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, you as well. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us every single Monday, recapping, talking about everything going on around Auburn athletics. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up the show. Phone lines are open if you want to get in one final time, 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Man, it's been a great show today. It's flown by. Mondays are always a lot of fun. It's just been me, no Uncle T-Bone. He'll be back on Wednesday. But we've talked about Auburn baseball today. We talked the Masters today. Scotty Scheffler, our boy Scotty. He is a Masters champion once again. And so I had a lot to talk about with that. We had basketball news that we went over. Jacob Hillman just joined us from the Auburn Sports Network. I mean, it's been a really, really good show. So if you missed any of it, you can go and catch it with the podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or just go to ESPNAU.com. Coming up on tomorrow's show, it is a busy, busy show. Lindsey Crosby will join us in hour number one, our baseball guru. He'll be in the studio. We'll be talking Auburn baseball. I'm sure he's going to be able to break this down a lot better than any of us can. And then we'll also talk about the Atlanta Braves. We'll talk Major League Baseball. So excited to do that in hour number one. And then Double D, Daryl Dapperidge, will be with us in hour number two, talking all things Auburn athletics, baseball, basketball, football, you name it. We'll be talking about it with Daryl Dapperidge in the second hour tomorrow. So a stacked show here on ESPN from 2 to 4 tomorrow afternoon. Let me give you an update on what's going on around our Auburn Network family of stations in terms of our high school coverage, because baseball and softball season in high school coming down to the wire, man, coming down to the last couple of weeks of the regular season. For my ride, Lee Scott, we are playing pretty much going on right now. Christian Griffin over at the Lee Scott Academy campus going live right now over on Tiger Country 104.5 as the Warriors hosting Springwood, the Wildcats of Springwood. It is senior night for Lee Scott, so I'm very excited to get over there. As soon as I'm off the air here, you can catch me on 104.5 with Christian Griffin. We'll be on for senior night, game one of the three-game series against Springwood, and then we'll be on the road tomorrow for games two and three, and then the regular season wraps up this week for Lee Scott. Postseason will begin next week, and then busy, busy week in the Auburn high school world, where starts tonight and runs all the way through Thursday of this week. Softball at home tonight against Marbury for Auburn High School. That's at 7 o'clock on 96.3 W Lee with Jack Hutton. Then tomorrow, softball is at home against the Bulldogs of Opelika. That'll be with Jack Hutton as well. And then on Wednesday, Auburn High School baseball is at home against Opelika. That is baseball again. That's 5 o'clock on 96.3 W Lee. And then baseball at Opelika. I know they got to make that long bus ride down there to Opelika. They will be driving down there at starting at 4:30. All of those games, that's on Thursday, but every one of those things that I just talked about, the softball game tonight, softball game tomorrow against Opelika, baseball on Wednesday and Thursday against Opelika, all of that can be found on the Auburn High School Sports Network on 96.3 W Lee. So a very busy time around here this week with our high school sports coverage. They'll both be getting into postseason play as well. And man, I'm telling you, before we know it, spring's going to be over. The temperature outside's already over. I mean, spring's gone, seems like. I mean, we just went straight to summer because that's what we do in the state of Alabama. So we're going to have so much coverage postseason baseball, softball for Lee Scott and for Auburn High. So really, really excited. Be sure to stay tuned. We'll have all that for you when, as we know, basically, we'll just give you the rest of the schedules and give you postseason schedules, all that good stuff. Between me, Christian, Scott Hutton, or Scott Bagwell, and Jack Hutton, we'll have all the coverage for you on Auburn High School and Lee Scott. So excited for that as well. But again, tomorrow, we'll have Lindsey Crosby here on the show talking baseball. We typically start with Major League Baseball. We typically go talk a little bit Atlanta Braves, talk a little Major Leagues. There's still some big news. They've got Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, and I think they got him in jail. Don't think they arrested him. And, man, that story just keeps getting weirder, man. The amount of money that he allegedly stole, we'll go with allegedly, stole from Shohei Ohtani is unbelievable. So we'll have some notes about that tomorrow. And then Auburn baseball conversation before Double D. And hey, portal opens. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in the world of college football when the portal opens? Who's going to leave Auburn? Who's going to come to Auburn? Will anything happen tomorrow? I guess we'll have to see. Will things happen this week? Possibly. You know what? Probably. And that's how the portal goes, man. And enjoy the ride. It's going to be a lot of fun. With spring practice over, college football, it's wide open again for the next couple of weeks, basically until the end of the month. And then at that point, it's true talking season. So, busy, busy show tomorrow. Be sure you're here with us. Lindsey Crosby and then Double D, Daryl Daprich, will be with us in hour number two. Appreciate you all being with me here on the Monday edition of the show. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.